At this time, then, we will go to Senate Bill 220. And I believe I explained at the last time what we would do with 220 is just give you a very brief amount of time. A minute or less would be appreciated for the proponent, the opponent, and if there's any rebuttal before we do take final action on Senate Bill 220. The proponents of Senate Bill 220, I believe, Senator Moore, you are here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll take 2 minutes on rebuttal then.
1 minute for each. You have passed, I know, on your proponent, so on rebuttal you will take 1 minute then. Mr. Wilbur.
Brent Wilbur, registered lobbyist for the Office of the Governor. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I think the policy issues here are very clear-cut. I would only add one thing. As I was leaving this room the other day after the last committee meeting, I was stopped by two educators, one of them the superintendent at one of the largest high schools in the eastern part of the state, and another one a principal. And they said to me, why didn't you tell the committee that a lot of these kids, in fact, have already gotten one free bite when they show up in court? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And they said, well, there's a diversion program. And I knew there was a diversion program for alcohol, but I hadn't known there was one for marijuana or other drugs. I went home and asked my wife, who's a circuit judge, and she said, oh, yes, by the time a child shows up in front of me, normally that child will have had one, at least one contact with the system where they've gotten, she didn't say it this way, but one free bite, because there's a pretrial diversion program run through the state's attorney's office within the discretion of every state's attorney in South Dakota, and it would be common for a juvenile picked up on a marijuana charge to get a pretrial diversion where they go see a counselor or something of the sort and never show up in court and never are adjudicated. Unless the amount is such that you would think that there was commercial dealing in marijuana, in which case the state's attorney may take them into court for a formal proceeding, which would be the sort of thing that triggers this bill. So as far as these kids getting one free bite, it appears that in the vast majority of cases, they have already had one contact with the system before they show up in a situation that would trigger the loss of their extracurricular activities. I believe the Department of Human Services wanted to comment a little more with regard to the fiscal matter. I don't know that that was entirely clear when we left the other day, so I'd give them the last 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Wilbur, that you mentioned the diversion program. You were made aware of that, and you have proven that that is used. And would I be familiar with the area where that might have been used fairly recently?
Yes, you would be very familiar with at least the place where it was brought to my attention, where it is apparently widely used.
Yes.
I'm not saying this is used everywhere. It varies from county to county within the discretion of the state's attorney.
But it is available.
It is available.
At this time, I will give social services a chance, and Senator Moore, you will be given equal amount of time.
Good morning. My name is Gib Sedbeck. I'm director of the Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. And I just wanted to clarify how the treatment system is kind of set up in the state. At this point in time, we have 53 accredited alcohol and drug programs in South Dakota. 14 of these facilities are designated as assessment centers where people come in either voluntarily ordered by the court to obtain an assessment for alcohol and drug-related issues. We currently fund all those agencies through a contract for service basis. Our policy is that if someone hits the 185% of poverty guidelines, that the assessment cost is paid for by us. And we in turn probably do about 10,000 assessments a year. If they fall outside of those parameters, they are responsible for picking up the cost of those services. This policy also applies to counseling services as well as treatment services. So if someone meets the guidelines, they have somebody come in and needs residential treatment, and we will pay for that with division funds. So that's kind of that's how that works. Under court orders, for example, if the judge orders someone for an assessment and they can't afford to pay, we pay. Mr. Wilbur talked about the diversion programs. Yes, they're operational in all circuit courts in the state. I think so far this year we had about 1,500 kids who went through those diversion programs.
Thank you. Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. You've heard a little bit about the diversion program. I'd like to spend an hour talking to you about the diversion program, but I think Brent Wilbur made it very clear that it's not used everywhere in the state. As a matter of fact, many state's attorneys do not use the diversion program. They do not believe in it. Now, if it's used in Coddington County, that's fine. It's not used in Yankton County, nor is it used in a lot of other counties in the state. I think the most compelling testimony you've heard on this particular bill Tuesday and again this morning has come from the Department of Human Services. They're in the business of helping people. And I would think that they would be more than willing to step to the plate to help these individuals, and they're not. And that bothers me just a little bit. Last week, there was something said about role models by a opponent to this particular bill. Let me tell you about role models. Carl Eller with the Minnesota Vikings had a severe problem, but he overcame that problem, and he became a role model for many individuals because of the work he did in that area. We can do the same thing with this. Give them a second chance. This provides kids an opportunity to make good. I've never said that this isn't a serious issue. It is a serious issue. The point is, we can put the kids into the Department of Corrections for $26,000 a year, and then Human Services can come in and provide the necessary counseling in. Or we can take care of this at the bottom end, where it's going to cost us a lot less money. And Human Service won't be involved in it, because 99% of the time, the parents are the ones that have to pay for the counseling. So therefore, shouldn't be an issue of a fiscal note. If they're talking a fiscal note, then this bill ought to be passed, because it's going to cost the state a lot less money. I think that we need to remember who stepped forward in this particular bill to support it. The people who care about kids. The Children's Coalition, myself, ESD Plus 5, Associated School Board, School Administrators of South Dakota. All the people that care for our kids are the ones that stepped forward and said, we want to work, we're concerned. I find it amazing that the only opponents were people attempting to support the position of the administration. I would urge your passage of Senate Bill 220. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Moore. At this time, we'll close testimony. We'll go to committee discussion and action on the bill. Is there any committee discussion or questions? The gentlemen are still here that have testified. Yes, Senator McIntyre.
Not a question, observation. I myself found myself offended with the opponent's testimony when we were saying that children who needed help could not be helped because we have to spend money to help them. And I can't see how we can rationalize that kind of statement and that kind of behavior. I think we are in the position of trying to help children become adults, responsible adults. And by a purely punitive measure, we are teaching them that the might is right. A second chance, a third chance, whatever it takes to allow children to become responsible adults. And I think 220 does exactly that. I would move to pass.
And move to pass by Senator McIntyre. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Huttmacher. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Senator Huttmacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know there's a lot of heartburn out there politically to vote for a bill like this, but sometimes I think we have to sit back and look at the big picture and look at the things we've done to juveniles in the past and see the opportunity that they have. And I know growing up as a teenager was a lot easier when I was that age than it is now. It seemed like before, you know, they'd send you home and call your parents or whatever, and anymore that isn't the case. The first thing we have to do is haul them to court and jail and everything else, and they end up in our correction system where we all know there's been trouble and there hasn't been a lot of counseling done there that has needed to been done, and consequently they end up in the adult system, and instead of being a tax-paying citizen, they're a tax-burning citizen. I would hope that we could pass this bill and at least give them the opportunity to get the needed help that they need. Are we going to win them all? No. I think that's fairly obvious. But I think they do need that opportunity, and I think counseling is one way we can do it. And I don't believe that high school students should be at the point we should write them off. I think they need to stay in school. They need to stay in activities. And if, you know, what kind of a role model are we setting if we take them out of activities for a year and they quit school? That's quite a role model, you know. I'd rather have the student be semi-embarrassed, if you will, to be suited up and on the sideline and not be able to play and getting counseling and the things that he needs to get than to have him turned loose and run in the streets. So I would hope we could pass this bill.
Thank you, Senator Huttmacher. Senator Moore, I do have, I guess, some questions, and I think you can answer them for me. On page one, where we're talking there, if we start like about on line nine, we speak here, if the person participates, we say in an assessment, we go down to completes an accredited intensive prevention program. Are those pretty well defined so that if this bill were to pass, is this defined so that we know what do we mean by participation? Is the assessment accredited intensive prevention program? Are those defined so that we really would feel comfortable that what we have them do, to only be suspended for 60 days, that is defined so that we are convinced that it's the right thing that we have them do?
Those are defined by individuals in the counseling area. I can't define all those terms for you, but those individuals in the counseling area use that terminology all the time.
In the counseling area, where would it be like? Are you
certified
saying
chemical dependency counselor?
Would this be then, excuse me for just a minute, and I think Mr. Sudbeck here is still here. Yes, is that defined so that when we say the assessment and then the accredited intensive prevention program, is that defined so that that is a program we could put our hands on and know what it is? Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Senator Moore. I think, one other thing before we go. On the second page, I also noticed there that, of course, we do have the permissive, it may be, got that, where we say participates in a complete. And alcohol is mentioned there, where I see on the front that we aren't referencing that. Is there a reason why the references are on the second, on the 120 calendar days and not on the 60?
No, there's not a good reason for that, Senator Bros. We could delete that or we could add it on the front end of this bill as well. But the point here is it probably should be taken out because the issue that we're addressing here deals with marijuana and controlled substances, and alcohol, I think, is defined differently as it relates to 1332.9. That's in another part of statute. And that wasn't an administrative decision to put alcohol in the bill at the time it was originally passed. So we could take that out. Schools deal with that now.
Okay, thank you. I guess from the committee standpoint, if
But I wouldn't mind leaving it in.
Kind of want it left alone, is that what you're saying? Committee members, are there any other questions, comments? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate what the proponents of this bill are trying to do, but I guess from a personal standpoint, being in the school business, and Senator McIntyre, believe me, I would take deep offense if anybody thought that I didn't care about kids. But I showed this bill to my 11-year-old son. I said, "Now this is what it means," and I'd hate to backtrack. I'd hate to back up off of that. Because I know that 90% of the kids, and I know you can make the argument that, well, 10%, is that right? But 90% of the kids are going to be intervened with before, in my opinion anyway, before this would ever happen. So my hope is that we'd let this stand for a while and use it, as a guide. We're talking about controlled substances. We're talking about stuff that is clearly illegal, and dealing. And I hope we defeat the bill.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any further comments? Any of the committee? From my standpoint, I will have to say I was quite surprised that the various education associations were in support of these amendments. Most of the time I find that when they are put into this position to make these kinds of decisions without being able to point at a specific statute, whatever, to back up that, which can be very, very unpopular. I can assure you that the decision that was made that I'm familiar with. When that was known, what had happened, and people were wondering what was going to happen, because the individual involved was actually quite valuable to that particular team that was in the state playoffs. However, the school did take the action, and I'm sure it was not very popular. In fact, I have heard even of some saying that what could happen in the future with that have happened. So I was very surprised that the school associations wanted to put themselves into the position of making that decision, rather than pointing out and saying, by statute, we have the right, and we are going to do this. I know it's permissive. And again, they've put themselves in a position. So, to be honest with you, I have a hard time also at this time supporting the amendment. Maybe if we find that we aren't accomplishing what we want to accomplish with the statute written as it was, there could be some changes made. I don't think that it's been there long enough. I'm one of the types of people that feel there is a time when you have to say enough is enough. This is your consequence. And so therefore, I was still in committee discussion on 220. For those of you that just arrived, there is a motion on the table of do pass by Senator McIntyre and the second by Senator Huttmacher for 220 as amended. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, substitute motion to defer to the 41st legislative day.
Senator Olson moves defer to the 41st day. Do I hear a second? Do I hear a second for defer to the 41st day? Hearing none, the substitute motion fails. Any further discussion before we take final action on the bill? Hearing none, those in favor will say aye, those opposed nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Excuse me, will you clarify the motion?
Do pass.
As amended.
Dugard?
Aye.
Ham?
Aye.
Hutmacher?
Aye.
McIntyre?
Aye.
Munson? Did you say no, Senator?
No.
No. Olson?
No.
Rose?
No.
Four yeas, three nays.
Senate Bill 220 will pass out to the floor with a due pass as amended.